This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast.
All the day long, whether rain or shine, she's a part of the assembly line. She's making history, working for victory. Rosie the Riveter.
It's a famous image. The red polka dot scarf, the blue work shirt, the determined face, and of course that curled bicep. It's Rosie the Riveter. Her face and "We can do it" message was the star of World War II propaganda campaigns. Rosie was a composite character. Millions of American women spent years working in factories and shipyards producing equipment to be used in the war. They could do it. Joining us right now is one of them, Wilma Foster, who lives in Laurel, is a Rosie who worked as a riveter in Hagerstown during the early 1940s. Wilma Foster, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And also with us is Anne Marie Miller, daughter of Wilma Foster and president of the Laurel chapter of the American Rosie the Riveter Association. Anne Marie Miller, thanks so much for coming in.
We're so happy to be here.
Now, Anne Marie, you are what the association, the American Rosie the Riveter Association, calls a rosebud. What's
yes.
a rosebud?
Rosebuds are the descendant from a Rosie, an actual woman who worked during World War II. And it's so wonderful because when the Rosies are no longer able to tell their story, the rosebuds will tell their story. Now, my granddaughters are Rosebud 2s. I'm known as a Rosebud 1 because I'm the first generation.
The first generation.
Yes.
And how about the male descendants? Are they left out of this?
Not really. Now, they can't have any vote in the American Rosie River Association, but all the boys are known as Rivets.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wilma Foster, tell us how you became a Rosie.
A Rosie. I was 16 when Pearl Harbor was bombed.
Mm-hmm.
And was still in school, of course. And then everything after the war was declared and everything started, you know, we had to pick up ourselves because we were not thinking of a war or anything. We have nothing to work with. So in Hagerstown, there was the government, I guess, had a order for this small plane that the women's air service pilots for them to train on. So then my brother had a garage in Hagerstown, and he had a room above the garage where he turned over to the recruiting of the women that were coming to work on that plane. So I wasn't doing anything at home. And
home was in Virginia?
In Virginia, in Berryville, Virginia. We lived in a little town outside of Winchester. And he came home one Sunday, and he said, "Well, get your bag packed. I have a job for you." And that's how I got to be at Fairchild Aircraft and took my training to be a riveter and driller or whatever came our way on the wings of this little PT-19 plane. And you had to be 18 to be in the plant because of the machinery and everything. So I worked there for 4 years.
You had turned 18.
Mm-hmm. I turned 18 in February.
Mm-hmm. What was it like working there?
Well, I was from the country, so I wasn't a real fancy little thing. And I was okay because we had to wear, of course, heavy shoes and overalls and a bandana around our head, you know, like you see the Rosie.
Mm-hmm. Was the was safety a real big issue? Was that something very you really
much,
focused on?
Very much. You had to be a little... the gals that were delicate, they worked at the rivet bin, and they counted out the rivets as we needed them, and they couldn't handle the drills and the rivet guns and stuff.
Because they were heavy?
They were heavy, very heavy.
But you were strong enough to do that?
Yeah, to be a little bit tough.
So do you remember any stories about the safety and security aspect of it?
Yeah, a little. I was brought up that you don't snitch on people. So this one girl was using a bucking bar when we were riveting at the back of that was to keep the hole. The hose had to be really straight for the rivets. And she was flirting with one of the boys from the rivet bin, and she moved the bucking bar, and it tore the wing.
I'm sorry, it tore the wing.
So the wing of the material.
That she was supposed to be riveting on. Tore.
Mm-hmm. So they took us back to the office, and I thought, oh, no, they thought, well, they had to question us because they thought it might be sabotage. at that time. And so I had to finally tell them, you know, that she wasn't doing her job because she was flirting with this boy. And I don't know what happened to her. They had to remove her to something else. But that was the only thing that made me worry, because I was taught not to tell on people, but I had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we made lots of little planes, and they were assembled at the airport, Hagerstown. Every inch was taken up with war in that time. You know, it was just crazy.
Anne-Marie, tell us about the work of the American Rosie the Riveter Association.
Well, our whole purpose is to find the Rosies and to tell their story. We're trying to get representatives in each state, and right now we don't really have that. We're very fortunate in Maryland to have two chapters. We have a Baltimore chapter that the ladies worked at, where was it? Well, Glenel Martin. Our Laurel chapter was started because we thought, well, there surely is some Baltimore, Washington on our end of the our end of the state, and we found seven so far.
What should someone do if they think they know a Rosie who might not be in touch? I mean, how can people get in touch with the organization?
Yes, they need to go to the Rosie's the Riveter website, and it's rosietheriveter.net.
And we will put that on our website, WIPR.org.
Mm-hmm. And when they go there, it'll pull up all kinds of information about who we are, what we do. It'll also give you forms to order Rosie items, because that's the only way that we don't have grants or anything like that. And that's how the Rosie Association works. They would also find a way to join, because you can come in as a Rosie, a rosebud, a Rosie partner, people that are interested in the history.
On 88.1, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Anne-Marie Miller, a rosebud who leads the Laurel chapter of the American Rosie the Riveter Association, and her mother, Wilma Foster of Laurel, who worked as a riveter at Fairchild Aircraft in Hagerstown during World War II. And Anne-Marie Miller, you are looking to collect more stories from women who served on the home front, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Our Rosie Association has compiled, we have four books now. Keeping the Legacy Alive is the last one that we just published.
Wilma Foster, is your story in one of these books?
Yes, it's in the latest one that's out.
What is the headline of your story? What's the highlight of your story?
Answering the Call.
Answering the Call.
Mm-hmm. And I did.
What happened? What did you do when the war ended?
I came home in 1945. November of 45, and there was a family in our neighborhood that I knew, and there happened to be a real handsome man named Abe, and I married him 3 months after I got out of work, and he brought me to Maryland, and I had two daughters. And we were married 47 years.
Mm.
And he's gone. He passed away in 93.
Uh-huh.
So that's been my life.
Sounds like a pretty great life.
Yeah. It's been all right.
Anne Marie, did you grow up with stories about your mother having been a Rosie the Riveter?
Not at all. My sister Margie, 2 years younger than me, and we knew that Mama was in Hagerstown with Uncle Elwood, but we didn't know why exactly. Mama really didn't talk about it until maybe 15 years ago at the most. And then's when we found that, well, these ladies and are Rosies that worked during the war. But, I mean, they weren't called Rosies then. All mm-hmm. this came later. But Mama brought us up being patriotic. My dad was very patriotic, loving being here in the United States, and being disciplined children and obedient children, Christian family. And so we didn't know much about it until later.
So I have to ask you, Wilma Foster, why didn't you talk about it when your daughters were younger?
I ask myself the same thing. Because I had Anne-Marie right away, and I guess when I came home from the plant, that I just wanted to forget it because it wasn't much of a life. Mm-hmm. It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. Mm-hmm. And I would only come home, twice a month or something like that. And sometimes I wonder why I didn't. Now we have grandkids. You know, I have the great grandgirls that they want to hear about it. And Anne-Marie and Margie, I guess, didn't hear it outside of the home, so we didn't talk about it. And they knew their father had been with the motor pool at Fort Meade, and they knew he was there, but mine didn't seem to be as sketchy as that.
Huh. Maybe it's a question. Now. What does it mean to you, Anne-Marie, that your mother was a Rosie the Riveter?
Well, just like her story is called it, she answered the call. And and she was called to do what she could do. And it means a lot to Margie and I that she was brave. She left home. She served and was obedient, you know, to her faith and family. And that's what really means a lot, you know. And she's a lady of history, mm-hmm. which is even awesome. Is to know that she tells her story, and that's why her great grandkids, my granddaughters, they're learning about this in school. So here, when Mama comes to their school, here's a lady that lived it, and it's not just in a book.
There is a song from that era that is almost as well known as the poster I talked about earlier, the Rosie. Rosie the Riveter song, which mm-hmm. I guess the best known recording was by
Kate Kaiser.
Mm-hmm. But can you sing some of that? Do you know a few lines of it?
You want to sing it, Mama?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
You gonna sing too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All the day long, whether rain or shine, she's a part of the assembly line. She's making history, working for history. Rosie the Riveter keeps a sharp lookout for sabotage, working up there on the fuselage. That little frail can do more than a male can do. Rosie the Riveter. Rosie's got a boyfriend, Charlie. Charlie, he's a Marine. Rosie is protecting Charlie, working overtime on the riveting machine. When they gave her her production E, she was as proud as any gal could be. She's something new about Rosie the Riveter.
Wow. You ladies are very good. That's wonderful.
It's fun.
Thank you so much.
Been good.
You're welcome.
Wilma Foster of Laurel, who worked as a Rosie the Riveter in Hagerstown during World War II, and her daughter, Anne-Marie Miller, a Rosebud, who leads the Laurel chapter of the American Rosie the Riveter Association. We have a photo of Wilma Foster as a Riveter and more information about the American Rosie the Riveter Association on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview there, too, including what Wilma Foster wanted to do when her days at the plant were done, and questions her great-granddaughters ask about her years as a Riveter. And you can see a photo of a PT-19 trainer at our website, or the plane itself at the Hagerstown Aviation Museum. The next event is Sunday, May 4th. We have that link at our website, too. I'm Sheila Cass. Much more ahead. Stay with us on
88.1. Rosie, 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 the Riveter. On the Ossie.